When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another installment of a dark minisode. These are like our little vignettes, which prepare us for the dark paranormal on Friday. And on Friday, unbelievably, we'll have already reached the halfway point for season 16. Well, they do say time goes quicker when you're having fun. And I will say, from a personal perspective, this season, both in the dark paranormal and on Dark Bites, there have been a number of entities described which I've never heard of before, which is something which is very rare and seems to have happened an awful lot during the first 5 episodes. In fact, this last Sunday on Dark Bites, we came across a phenomena of the red-eyed kids. Yes, we've all heard of the black-eyed kids, but it would appear the red-eyed kids have a thing going of their own. And of course, if you want to join our community, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But for now, we've got a mini-show to do. So let's get right into it. Hi, my name is Amy, and I live in North Carolina in the southern US. I've recently discovered your podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm 51 years old now, and I've been a Christian all my life. But I've had enough paranormal experiences to be very interested in the subject, with a continuing desire to understand how all these various elements of the supernatural fit into my theology. My husband and son also have an interest, and we have some lively discussions. But I'm writing today specifically about a very intense experience I had as a young girl in Ohio. For some background, when I was 6 years old, my family moved from Washington State across the country to a picturesque little college town in Ohio. It was due to a job change for my father. He was a physician, and he got a position at the local university's medical school. So, my parents, my older brother and I, all packed up our whole life, and our cat, and travelled 2,000 miles to take up residence in a charming 3-story Victorian home on one of the oldest streets in the city. Despite all of our jokes about how this new home looked a bit like a haunted house, an impression not helped by the bats that would pour out of the attic every evening, our house was lovely and peaceful. It was the house next door where things became interesting. Our neighbours, a family of 5 with 3 children, who were right around the same ages as my brother and I, were kind, friendly people. And we began going round and playing with the kids on a regular basis. We played outside a great deal. There was a big empty lot between our homes, perfect for frisbee, chase, catching fireflies, or running through water sprinklers on a hot day. But when we really wanted to play a thrill game, we'd play a game all the neighborhood kids called sardines inside their home. For those not familiar with this game, it's kind of like a reverse hide-and-seek, one person hides, and everyone else seeks them. As each person finds the original hider, they all must cram into that space together. Whoever is the last to find the whole group, well, they have to hide next. Sounds innocent enough, right? Well, it was imperative that this game be played in that particular house. Because, well, there was something of an atmosphere to that home that was terrifying. And it therefore upped the spook factor. I cannot tell you just how scary it was, creeping silently around that house, always feeling watched, always feeling a chill down your arms and up your spine, wondering what you may encounter around every corner, in each closet, or looking under a bed. And the relief you felt when you eventually found your friends, silently giggling in their hiding spot. Even at the tender age of 7 or 8, I knew in my gut that something was very wrong in that house. Pretty quickly, my brother and I started comparing notes about our neighbour's home. And I realised he felt exactly as I did. 3.5 years older, he was still just as disturbed as I was in there. The home itself was another Victorian with a big front porch, similar to our house really, but a bit more sprawling. Yet, unlike our home, no matter how brilliantly sunny it could be outside, that house always felt dark. And I mean always. And there was an immediate heaviness to the air the moment you stepped inside. I never felt like I could breathe in that house. Like there wasn't enough air. My brother used to nudge me and point at various bits of decor. Like the skulls sitting on bookshelves. Not acrylic or resin, real bone skulls. Sneaking through the house playing a game was just about bearable. But sitting still in any of the rooms and trying to feel comfortable or relaxed was impossible. You could be alone, but you never felt alone. A number of years later, when I was older and my parents had learnt the full extent of our experiences there, my mother told me she dreaded when those neighbours would leave town and ask her to water the houseplants. Being a good neighbour, of course, she felt like she couldn't refuse. But she detested going into that house, and she would pray the entire time she was there, and then get the heck out as quickly as she could. Even she felt like the oppressive atmosphere was undeniable. Looking back on that time, I'm trying to figure out where their mother was during all our childhood games. I never saw her, but I'm nearly certain she didn't work, and the children were just left there alone on summer days. Surely. This was the late 70s, very early 80s, and an affluent neighbourhood. All the mothers on our street stayed home. At any given time, I could find my own mother in the kitchen baking cookies or folding laundry, listening to music while she made dinner or worked on the family budget. Or very often, she'd be sitting out on the porch with friends, and they'd drink coffee and watch us play. But the neighbour's mum? No idea. Over a span of about 4 years, I do not have a single memory of that woman in that house during the day, only eerie silence. Today's show is sponsored by Acorns. Now, one of the things which I always got wrong is I believed that investment was for other people. The sort of people who have a finance degree and use phrases like buy low, sell high. And I don't have a finance degree and I don't use phrases like that. And I also thought that you needed a lot of money to start investing, but that's not the case. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, for your retirement. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. And now, Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. That's extra money for your retirement. I'm 45 and not thinking about retirement, but I really should be. And that's why I'm glad places like Acorns exist, because it's a genuine relief to know there are a team of experts waiting to help guide you through that formerly scary world of investment. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today.
Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD, MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it, and what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to grundymd.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's grundymd.com/darkparanormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The middle child was a girl my same age, and she always got a kick out of trying to spook me. We were friends, kind of, but I never enjoyed the times I was alone in that house with just her. She explained to me once that an old woman had died in her room, and she seemed not only pleased, but rather proud about it. I just stood there, looking around. What should have been a lovely, sunny bedroom, because there were so many windows, just felt so dark. I'd feel incredibly sorry for her that she had to live in such a creepy house. She proudly showed me her parents' bedroom next door. The first thing I noticed was the painting that hung over their bed. It was a tall black house, silhouetted against a dusky sky, with a single window, illuminated by what looked like a candle glow. "My mum painted that," she gleefully explained. I could not begin to imagine such a thing hanging in my own parents' beautiful bedroom. Her final stop on the tour was the basement, where they kept a coffin. A real coffin. When she told me what was down there, I absolutely had to see it for myself, because surely this was a joke, right? She was not joking. As you may have guessed by now, this family were highly interested in the occult. Halloween was their most favourite holiday and they would go all out. Hence the coffin, which was the most important element to their front porch decorations. I remember having a conversation with their mother out on the lawn one evening, and she told me that orange and black were her favourite colours. And she told me with great enthusiasm about the seances they regularly held in their home, not just around Halloween, but for all of the kids' birthday parties. At that time, I didn't understand about any of these things, but I would listen politely, and my brother and I, diplomatically, decided to not tell our parents half of the stuff we heard about from that family, sensing, correctly, that they would be very concerned. Their eldest daughter was the most interested of all the children in these things, and her room was at the very top of the house. It was an amazing attic space, all finished, very spacious, beautiful woodwork and sloping ceilings. Any preteen girl's dream room. But the feeling in that room? Well, I shudder to this day to remember it. As you'd climb the final set of stairs into the attic, the air got heavier and heavier, and the atmosphere darker and more oppressive with every step. Eventually, I would feel like I almost needed to crawl, as the heaviness felt nearly too great to stand under. And there was a closet under one of the eaves, one that still makes me feel sick when I remember it. I couldn't go near it. And if the door was standing open, the desire to close it felt like a silent scream inside my head. So one day, when I was about 8 or 9, the middle girl, the one my age, suggested she and I go upstairs to her sister's attic room and play with a Ouija board. Now, I'd never heard of a Ouija board, so naturally, I had zero understanding of what it was all about. Reluctantly, I agreed, and we sat ourselves down on the carpet with the board in between us. Things got progressively more disturbing as we went along. She explained to me what we were supposed to do. Set our fingers together on the planchette, and it began to move immediately and decisively around the board, answering our questions with an unsettling degree of accuracy. But I remember thinking maybe my friend was prompting this a bit. I wouldn't have put it past her. But then we sat back from the board just for a moment, and she asked a question, and the planchette moved by itself. Completely by itself. At that point, I started becoming emotionally unglued. I remember screaming at her, "You're doing it! You're doing it!" and she yelled back, "I'm not!" throwing both hands into the air and then pointing to the space between her and the board. That memory of staring at that 3-inch strip of carpet between the board and her knees, with her hands up in the air and the look of half delight, half fear on her face, will stick with me forever. Neither one of us were anywhere near that board when the planchette continued to spell out answers. That was it for me. I leapt to my feet and ran down 2 flights of stairs straight out their front door, and I never set foot in that house again. I ran straight into our house and I found my mother, my wonderful, comforting mother, standing in our bright kitchen, nice and sunny, and I told her what had happened, and I watched as the blood drained from her face. She told me it was going to be okay, that I needed to pray that the Lord would forgive me for dabbling unknowingly in dark things I didn't understand, and to ask for his protection. She later talked to my brother, and the whole story came out. We told her everything that had gone on. She forbade us from ever going there again. She wasn't angry, just very, very concerned and very, very disturbed. It was awkward to have to tell our friends we couldn't go into their house when they invited us, but also a relief to have the excuse that our mum just doesn't like Ouija boards and stuff, so we could just sit out on the porch instead. Within a year after, we moved away to another part of town and never saw those people again. I think about them sometimes, and I wonder what those kids are doing now. While that particular experience was extremely terrifying for me, and the 4 years of living next to them had many odd brushes with the paranormal, I'm grateful for that time. It was like a crash course in what dark energy feels like. And once you've learned that lesson and felt that oppression, you never forget it. I've always felt it in many other places over my lifetime, and I've always known what it signifies, and it's always served as a warning to me. Do I believe an old woman died in that house? Probably. Many old people die in homes. Do I think that house was haunted by ghosts? I absolutely do not. One thing I've learned in over half a century of life is that the supernatural is 100% real. And what you invite into your life and into your home will come. If you ask God's protection around and within your home, I believe he will come and drive out evil. I've lived in 13 homes over my life so far, and I've always found this to be true. And if you ask demonic or dark spirits into your home, and make no mistake, Ouija boards and seances are most definitely an invitation. They will come, and they will stay as long as they feel welcome. Thank you so much for reading my story. Amy, North Carolina. Well, Amy, thank you so much for providing this week's minisode. And unless I'm reading this wrong, I would assume you have many more paranormal experiences to share. And if that's the case, we would love to hear them. And of course, that goes for anyone listening right now. Make a note of this email address, contact@thedarkparanormal.com, and email over your true paranormal experience. Irrelevant of size or length, we'll ensure we find a place for it either as a full episode of The Dark Paranormal, here on a minisode, or on our Patreon show, Dark Bites. Well, that concludes this week's minisode. Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for listening. I'll speak to you all again on Friday for our halfway point of season 16. And until then, stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.